Welcome to Friends at Film Camp, the podcast where two friends gather by the fire from our fun film perspectives. I'm Jillian.
I'm Luke.
Today, we are talking about Call Me Kevin, who is a gaming YouTuber who I love. He's recently become a very integral part of my nighttime routine. Honestly, too integral for how many... He doesn't post daily videos anymore, which is like... understandable. Anyway, specifically, we're talking about his Among Us series, which, hold your laughter.
I don't think they were laughing. They also would have saw it in the title.
Okay, Among Us has become a meme, and it's very funny. Mm-hmm. I think it's a funny meme. It makes a good meme, Among Us, right? But I don't want us to forget that Among Us, when it, the era of Among Us, when it became really popular, we needed it, and it was there for us, and it was really fun.
Yes.
And I kind of miss it.
I don't think I've been in this Among Us meme that you've been in.
It's become a huge meme. You haven't seen that?
No. I've seen people, like, make jokes about it, but more so in the way people, like, just make jokes about video games.
You
like,
remember it's just like, oh, when... it's a game. No. It's become super... You remember when Minecraft was really cool, and then it was really uncool, and then now it's really cool again?
Uh-huh.
Among Us is kind of in that really uncool phase.
Here's the thing about Among Us, is Among Us was exactly what the world needed during this time, during COVID,
mm-hmm.
when we were all isolated
mm-hmm.
and paranoid and stressed and concerned. And it was fun to see other people in isolation being stressed and concerned.
What?
And like playing the psychological games.
I guess.
That was the appeal of Among Us.
I don't think so. You think it was reflecting the emotional experience of the pandemic?
I think it was reflecting it in a fun, this is goofy way.
That's a very deep take.
Well, also allowing a social connection to exist.
I think it was the perfect game for people to play in large groups. Like, yeah, while distancing.
Yeah, I would also agree with that.
But I don't think the popularity is from it mirroring the emotional experience.
I think that...
We can disagree
on that. I think
it's interesting. I don't think it is.
Because, okay, well, you have to let me say why before you say okay. I don't think so.
Okay.
Which is, I think we were just really desperate for that sort of activity. And things like Fall Guys, which mm-hmm. also got big during the pandemic, didn't have near the staying power
yeah.
that Among Us did.
Yeah.
And I'm not, like, Among Us didn't last forever, but I never really thought Among Us would last forever.
No.
But the crux of the thing with Among Us, I find, is that the whole point is isolation and helplessness when you're, like, a crew member. You are isolated, and all you can do is, like, trust what's around you, and everyone is lying to protect themselves. So I think that that was very reflective of COVID at the time. I actually think that if Among Us had been picked up by a major studio who wasn't garbage,
okay,
it could have lasted a lot longer. But that's really hard balance because...
What do you mean?
In terms of, like, the longevity of the game.
As, like, a movie?
No.
Oh, a gaming studio.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the problem with that is I think it would be really easy to go too far in the other direction.
Yeah.
Because the crux of why I think Among Us kind of faded out was that the team was too small to handle this product that was too big,
mm-hmm.
that became too big too quickly. Like, way too many people got into Among Us for the tiny team to handle.
Yeah.
And if they had given it to, like, Ubisoft or EA, they could have accommodated the rapidly growing game. But they also would have probably ruined it through monetization and marketing and... whatever those board chip things are, they'd probably bring those in.
I mean, I think it was fine. Like, Among Us had a really long run.
Yeah. No, I'm not just saying it should have been longer or shouldn't. I think Among Us did what it needed to do.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad it was there. And that is how we transition back to Kevin.
So, while I had already been watching Kevin's videos.
Yes.
And I don't think you did.
No, I didn't know who he
was. I'm more of a Kevin watcher. I think these are really majorly, like, his only videos you've seen.
I've seen a handful of others. I might even be subscribed to him. But I don't like a lot of the games he likes to cover. Because he likes kind of, like, games where he can choose goofiness. And I find a lot of the games where he can choose goofiness just aren't my vibe.
Okay.
But this is one where I'm fine with it.
So, I think one of the things, and you see this in other series that he plays, especially ones that are... So, a funny thing about his gameplay is in single-player games, he's normally being extremely chaotic, which often is not my favorite. But... in multiplayer games, he does this thing where he's extremely charismatic and he gets everyone on his team.
He's really good at that.
I don't know if you know Rust. Do you remember the game Rust?
No.
Okay. So Rust was a well, I think it's just not as popular anymore, but it's still like going. Anyway, it's a multiplayer game where you are in a land, you like spawn into a land and you're trying to live, and everyone else is trying to like kill you and stuff. But anyway, famously it has like a very toxic community, and he was able to make friends, which was said to be impossible, and then like broker peace. It was crazy. Anyway, so this is something you see that carries through his other videos, but it's something that is especially fun to watch in Among Us. Specifically when, I mean, sometimes it's when he has a specific goal in mind. So the Among Us series kind of starts just in general of him.
He's just playing Among Us.
And then as it goes on, because there's like 38, 37 videos in this that he played. He starts having themes. So, like, you know, one that we watched was, like, pacifist, where he was trying to get everyone not to, like, kill anyone, things like that.
Or he does, like, one where he forms a religion, some where he's, like...
That's a good one.
There's one where he's, like, a doctor.
Yeah.
I have the list. There's some where he has, like, he'll agree with everyone no matter what they say. He can't say names or colors.
And it's especially interesting in these ones as well, because he's doing completely public lobbies, which also I think was made him really unique in terms of the Among Us like content. Like most, I'm thinking the other like famous streamers at the time who were like playing Among Us for hours and hours a day. And the norm was to play it with like other famous people and like other people who were streamers and things like that. So it is actually something unique to his Among Us content that he was just in random public lobbies. And I really like that because that was actually my favorite way to play Among Us, because I hate lying over video chat. It's so much easier to do it over text. But that also means he's somehow still able to be like charismatic and get people onto his side, like, just through text as well.
Yes, he's a very good showman during the game. Mm. And I actually like your idea that part of the reason these were so successful for him was how different he was approaching it.
Because
the other big streamer who I think of Among Us would be, like, Pushing Toast or Burning Toast or what's his name?
I just call him Toast. But you're right. Disguised Toast.
Disguised Toast, who I consider the other big Among Us guy.
Okay.
Do you actually want to know how I found out about Among Us as a concept?
Sure.
It was a MatPat game theory.
Oh, yeah.
He just uploaded this video. It was, like, early-ish COVID. And he was like, let's talk about this game. And I was like, what's this? And I remember I was so like, ugh, this is silly. A little condescending in my mind, but I was like, whatever, there's nothing else going on with the world ending. I feel like this was shortly after I finished Drag Race
here,
or I don't know, it was that time period. But I remember I watched it, I was like, this is kind of neat. And then I just kind of learned more about it. It's not a deep story, but it is a neat one.
I don't remember how I found out about Among Us,
but Yes. The crux of Among Us is that the game itself is actually very simple.
Mm-hmm. It's all about group dynamics.
The part where it gets complicated and where the fun is the psychological element.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, the psychological element. Because the rest of the game is just very simple mini games.
Uh-huh.
There are three maps for Among Us.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them are fine. But the best map is the spaceship.
The one that Kevin plays on?
Yeah.
No, disagree.
You disagree?
Yes. Interesting.
I would love to hear more about
this. You're crazy.
Tell me which map's the best map.
The one where you can go outside.
The remote base?
Yeah. I think. I don't know. It's the third one. They have more now, but at the time, it was the third one.
Why?
I love that one.
But why?
It's big, it's pretty, you can go outside. There's lots of stuff to do.
Okay. Well, is the only reason you like it that you can go outside?
No, I just gave you so many reasons.
Big, it's pretty. I don't like that one that much.
Why not?
I don't know. Here's the thing about the spaceship for me is it's the perfect encapsulation of what Among Us is.
Yeah.
Crowded. It feels crowded. It's big enough that you can be alone, mm-hmm. but it's not so big that you feel like you're actually ever alone.
It is the standard one. I will say that is probably my one criticism of the series, is I wish that he expanded to the different maps.
He does a little more.
He tries. He always just goes back to the other one because he gets too overwhelmed, which I just like would like to see him do the other ones more.
Yeah, I can see that.
But it's over now, so whatever. Mm-hmm.
He still does a few every now and then, but this isn't really his thing anymore, because the Among Us thing died.
Well, he's also not that type of content creator. Like, some people are really loyal to, like, certain series and stuff. This is probably one of his longest series I've ever seen him do, but, like, he does not stick to one thing for very long, normally.
No, he's been open about how he doesn't like to get bored.
Yeah.
He gets bored very easily.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good thing about this series is that it was easy for him not to get bored.
Well, he got addicted to it.
Yeah.
Which was great for us, because we got so excited every time a new video could come up, and we'd watch it together.
Yes. It was like a thing.
Yeah.
We'd be like, hey, the new video's up. And we'd be like, okay, we'll watch it tonight. Like, instead of a movie, we watched Call Me Kevin.
The other thing that's, like, great about his series, which is related to his charisma in terms of when he gets lobbies.
Hold
to
on.
What?
This is completely unrelated, but okay. I have to say it now because it'll be more unrelated.
Okay.
Having a COVID series reminded me so much of that John Krasinski situation. Do you remember this?
Yeah. Okay. With the news thing?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Some good news.
Yeah.
And how John Krasinski, he basically just made something to do during COVID to make content. It was literally just a boring news show of him being like, hey, here's some good news in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then John Krasinski had it bought by Paramount for like millions. And then they announced that they were not going to do it on YouTube. They were going to do it on Paramount Plus, and John Krasinski would have nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they buy? I just think about that all the time.
I only know about this through you, so...
I just think about it so often.
They bought the name.
They just bought a name that they've never used still.
And they never made a show?
No, they just...
That's really weird.
Gave John Krasinski a bunch of money.
That's really weird that they never made anything.
No.
I didn't know that part.
Well, I think they
thought... I assume they made something, it just, like, was lame.
No, I think what they thought was that John Krasinski would want to come with it. And keep doing this.
Well, that would have had to be in the contract.
Yeah, but they didn't put that in the contract.
Why wouldn't they put that in the contract?
Because I think they just were like, you'll want to come. It's this show.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think it's a smart plan. I think the studio was being dumb.
Mm.
And John Krasinski was like, sure, I'll make like $10 million. I don't know if that's what he actually... What did he get paid for? I need to look at this. Apparently it ended up with Snapchat.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm sorry. That was off topic. But I think about it a lot when we talk about COVID content. And I will always bring it up.
You were looking up what he got paid for, not where it ended up.
Yeah, but I didn't figure that out.
Oh, okay.
I found out that he didn't make it.
Snapchat makes sense. It's good for Snapchat.
I guess that makes more sense than what the alternative is.
So call me Kevin.
Who's that?
Call me Kevin. Anyway, so related to his charisma, another really fun thing, especially in the early ones, it becomes less frequent in the themed ones, but a really main focus of the early ones is him making friends. So there's like a few iconic friends. There's Big Chungus, who's in the first one. There's Pee Pee Poo Poo. There's 21. And then there's one other who I can't remember.
I don't know.
Pee Pee Poo Poo is always my favorite. Do you have a favorite?
I think they were just all magical.
And then the other thing that really cements these friendships and this like lore in the first few episodes. So I had us watch like the first 5-6 episodes, and then we kind of chose from the other themed ones, because these first ones have some lore going on. Because Call Me Kevin, like, especially the new segment that he does in the one after he made friends with Pee Pee Poo Poo and then the server crashed, and he does this new segment about him being like missing, and if you've seen him, he's like considered spoken for, which is really funny. And he like paid some guy on like Fiverr or something like that to like read out this news thing like it was like an official thing. And then later on you have him like starting an episode with like a dream where he's talking to all of his friends and Among Us, and then somebody comes in and like murders them all, and then you have him singing a song about all his lost friends.
It's cute.
So it really like adds this other dimension, and it's just like so fun. I think it really influenced me, and whenever I was playing in random lobbies, I was like, I need to make friends. And honestly,
you were always so passionate whenever we'd play Among Us.
Yeah.
About the concept of making friends.
Really? Do I ever play in public lobbies with you?
I don't know if you play in public lobbies. You in group chats. Because you were invited to some of my friends when they would do it.
Yeah.
And you were always fun. You got tired usually.
Yeah.
But it was always fun. But you were very like, I need friends. I need allies.
Yeah.
You always wanted allies.
I love an ally.
But you were always too open about wanting an ally.
I love allies, and I love being crewmate. I hate being the imposter. I don't like lying. I just like to be honest.
You are like the type of person who's like, I like doing the little games. I like going around and scanning the card.
I like being part of a team. I like being like, yeah, we're going to beat the imposters. Like, when I'm the imposter, my heart will start beating really hard. It's why I stopped playing. It was too much for me. Like, I couldn't do it. It never made sense to me why people always wanted to be the imposter.
I liked being imposter every now and then, but I also liked being crew. I just liked lots of things.
But yeah, I think he like really influenced me, especially in public lobbies. I was always trying to have a friend. And like, it worked out great before. But also it led to my heart being broken that one time. And I that one time, literally, I got way too like emotional in real life, and I didn't play it again. Like, ever. Which wasn't like, I wasn't like, I'm ever gonna play this again, but I was like, I need to chill out, because I'm like too invested in this, and then I just never played it again, because it was too much.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Probably.
I still think about it. I was trying to make friends with this one person in this lobby that I'd been in for a while, and then, suddenly, this other person comes in, and they're doing this weird bit. It was the one with the cafeteria, and then it goes off in a big Y. Uh-huh. It's definitely my least favorite one. This other person was doing a bit where they would only stay by the cafeteria, and they just like stood there and they were vibing. In quotes. And so then this other guy who I was trying to make friends with was vibing with him. Anyway, I'm running around solving what's it called?
Or doing puzzles.
No, but I'm solving tasks. the things.
Doing tasks.
No, that the imposters do.
Murdering people.
No. With the oxygen in the reactor?
Hijacking or...
Sabotaging. Is it called sabotaging?
It's sabotaging.
So I'm like solving those so that we don't die with these two other people. And Black and White are just hanging out of the table. And White keeps being like, oh, I think it's this person. Like, we were just vibing. And anyway, turns out they kicked me out. Suddenly they turned on me. And I was the only one keeping all of us alive. And they kicked me out. And the whole thing died because White was the imposter the whole time. And he was all like, haha, I didn't even have to murder anyone. And I was so betrayed by my friend, who had been my friend before, and then they betrayed me, and they kicked me out of the ship when I'd been working so hard that I was, like, genuinely really upset, and I, like, left the lobby.
It can feel really hard when people, like, criticize you when you're working so hard, and then they just, like...
like and then they murder you.
Then they just don't respect it, and yeah. they're like, how dare you? This is your fault. And you're like, I'm the only one working hard, and you have all these people here... not doing anything.
Yeah.
And it's just very frustrating.
It was very... especially because they were just standing by the table.
I like his videos where he makes a cult. Yeah. I don't know how else to frame it. But he always makes these little cults.
He loves making cults.
And he's really good at making cults.
Another series by him that I actually want to get you to watch is his 1 and 2 Sims Online series.
Uh-huh.
And I think you'll like it.
Maybe. I don't really like Sims.
Mary?
Maybe. I don't like The Sims.
It's Sims
much.
Online.
I don't like The Sims anywhere.
No, you will like it.
Okay.
Anyway, he
you
makes
a... You were the one that said I had to talk about
he
the
makes
videos.
A, he makes a cult. Go on. You like the one where he makes a cult?
I do. I like the one he makes a doctor cult. He makes a religious cult.
Yeah.
Sometimes he just makes a cult. I don't know how, but he's always really successful. He can, like, show them he's an imposter.
Oh, yeah, he's
still
so good at that.
Loyalty for them.
Yeah.
I've tried that a few times. It worked for me once,
mm-hmm.
and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Because it was like, okay, I have power. I have a cult.
Yeah.
I have loyal ship who will follow me. I will lead my flock type thing.
Do you have an all-time favorite episode? Mine's definitely the pee pee poo poo one.
No.
That's the one that, like, gripped me. And then with the news thing, I was, like, completely sold.
No. Those are, like, early episodes in a sitcom. I like a sitcom in that peak middle part. Where you have enough material, you can, like, play with it. Like, with any good show, what you have, or any good long-running show... how the typical format goes is you have the first bit of the show where they're trying to find their footing, but they have good premise.
Which is then going extinct.
Then you have what I consider peak show, which is the middle part, which is they have enough basis and material to stand on that they can start playing with formats.
Okay.
When they want to. They can still also introduce new ideas to the format. And then you get to the third section, which is usually where most shows start to fall apart, which is they stop finding ways to add new stuff to the format, and they only just play with it, what they have. They stop adding new. And the only thing new they can add is, like, new characters or new gimmicks for the sake of gimmicks. I think Kevin falls into this format, and I think Kevin's middle episodes, where he starts adding rules to himself... are really the funnest.
No.
I like his cults. I like his, I can only agree or disagree. I think that's his best.
No. I fully disagree. I think the early ones are the best. I like the ones with no rules. I still enjoy the ones that he has rules or themes, but they are not my favorite at all.
I like rules.
No.
I value rules.
Rules are fine, but no.
I value the rules tremendously. Kevin doesn't actually like to do his tasks.
Yes.
And that has always bothered me a tiny little bit because I don't think he's ever actually won by completing tasks.
Yeah.
He always wins by either getting lucky and throwing out the alien or dying.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't actually win by doing the test. And mm-hmm. I understand he's busy making cults, but...
I also think it's interesting with him because I think a lot... I mean, Disguised Toast has a similar thing, where Disguised Toast's big thing is that he can, like, suss out the imposter, right? What Kevin's thing is, like, controlling a group.
Yes.
And it's interesting because it's not necessarily... he's not the best at figuring out who's the imposter, and he's not the worst either. They really just throw people out a lot.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because the skill is the control and not the identifying. Where I think Disguised Toast, his skill is identifying. He can't always get everyone to believe him. And somebody like Corpse or... I don't know who else. Corpse is the only one who comes to mind. He was really good at like being imposter. And that's not Kevin's thing either. So I think it's,
Kevin's actually not that good at being the imposter.
He's not, which it seems like he would be, but he's really not. And that's not really where his videos focus, which I also
think... He doesn't even really want to be the imposter in most videos. He kind of likes not being the imposter for his, like, it's like, how do I kill people if I can't just stab them?
As someone who likes to be a crewmate, I really like that. Because especially when, Among Us was really big the first time, there was a lot of focus on the imposter role.
It's weird to watch some of those first episodes just because he was like, I don't know how to play Among Us. And I'm like, you're like an Among Us guy.
Uh-huh.
And so that was interesting, watching it back.
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen that early episode in a while.
Mm.
He probably did. I would have found it interesting to see him with, like, a big group playing Among Us.
Well, he showed that one group, but he said he didn't like it.
Yeah. But I would have liked one video.
Yeah, just that would be fun.
Because I never really saw him with this. But he does fit with that vibe. Actually, he really fits in the vibe of YouTube animation community. I don't know why, but that's just where his vibe is.
I can see that.
So, yeah. Overall, I just think Call Me Kevin's YouTube on a series... For most people, this won't be that much of a thing, but for us, it's very special.
It is
this
very
little
special
thing. And it makes me really happy.
It's still really funny videos. It's a really good series. And it's a really good, like, screenshot of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the excitement around Among Us that time.
This is... But, overall, yeah. This is a good series. If you want a good YouTube series, I recommend it. Good for studying and that sort of vibe.
Studying?
Okay, like background noise.
I would not use it as background noise. Really? This is a background
noise? Yeah, but you have a different background noise.
Yeah.
Well, tickle me.
I wasn't tickling you.
You just went up to my belly and went like that.
I was touching my leg. I did not mean to tickle you. I would find it too distracting because I think it's funny.
Yes. I think it's the best amount of funny for studying.
Okay.
But we have different standards there.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that concludes today's episode of Friends at Film Camp. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll catch you next time at the campfire.